The stories that harm us and the stories that save us. Paulo Coelho's A Perfect Heart, that story reminds us that the way we talk about our lives has the opportunity to add beauty and depth or to uphold an impossible standard that only brings pain. What if the story upheld in that little parable was that the perfection of the blemishless heart was the one we should be shooting for? What if that was the only story we heard? Then any scar we had, any wound or rough edge would seem like a failure. It would seem like a reason to believe in ourselves just a little bit less, or to hide something from others just a little bit more. The story also warns us about the problem of letting other people determine the worth of our own story, letting someone else decide what the meaning is, rather than owning it ourselves. If that old man had given the power to interpret his messy, jagged heart to the young man, then he would have also given him the power to make that man feel ashamed or less than. No one can take our stories from us unless we let them. And it is up to us to tell our truths in a way that honors all that we've been through and all that we are, the empty places where love wasn't returned, the jagged piece, the mismatched corners, all of it gets to be a testimony of our sacrifice and our commitment to growth and learning. I listened to the 47th president's inaugural address on Monday, January 20th. The whole darn thing. Now that was a story. It was a story of fear and anger. It was also a story that lacked complexity or nuance. It was very right, wrong, that's it. It was a story claiming one right way. It was a story of ego and exceptionalism. And as I listened, thankful that he was reading from a teleprompter, I could see why some of the people that I love would find that comforting, that they would love this change in government so much because I could see how it would make them feel special. And it would remove the need for them to wrestle with the complexities that make us feel uncomfortable, the messy, jagged edges and holes that make up all of the richness of humanity. You don't have to think about that in the story told on Monday. This is also true. It was a story that only thrives because it denies the beauty and the thriving of other stories. It is a story that harms because it needs to be the only one told in order to survive. That's important and hopeful. And that's why we can't give up. We have to claim and reclaim, tell and retell the stories of the very real lives, spiritual experiences, identities, and loves of all America's people. We have to keep telling different stories. The UU minister, Lynn Unger, who's also a rather well-known poet, I've talked about her before. I also just found out that she's a dog trainer, which makes me love her even more. She's also a lesbian, which is important to mention in the context of what I'm going to share with you, which is a piece that she recently wrote on her Substack blog this week. She says, "Of course, the question on the mind of everyone or anyone watching this onslaught of attacks on human rights, human decency, and, you know, logic is, what do we do now?" And as someone who's been giving this prospect quite a lot of thought over the months and years that have led us here, I would say, hell if I know. She goes on to say, while this awfulness is happening, the stories that are told, we have to be careful and listen because the stories that are being told are wrapped in a shroud of virtue and purity, claiming that the policies are making things safe for the normal people, the real people, the ones who count people. Which is to say, well, you can imagine what is to say. The language of thrift is being used to diminish the rights to steal from the poor and the middle class. The language of home and family is being used to diminish the rights of women and same-sex couples. The language of safety and security is used to demonize immigrants. The language of strength is used to justify brutality. The language of Christianity is used to justify the polar opposite of Jesus' message of inclusion and mercy and care for those in need. The same words are being used to make something else happen, which is why reason and logic and discussions don't always work. We have to talk about our stories. We have to humanize and be humanized. We have to keep owning who we are in all of it, because there's this other, bigger, more important story. It's the one that we are living. It is absolutely real. We are living it right now. It's the one we see reflected in each other's eyes, for those of us here in this room, in our families and friend circles. And so I was struck by one of the ways that Lynn suggests we begin to hold our ground and honor our lives. And this is why it's important for you to know that she's a lesbian, because I probably couldn't get away with saying this. I'm just going to be honest. She says, "I have no plan for what we do to stop this, but I do have a suggestion. Embrace queerness. Yes, stand up for your LGBTQ self, if that's who you are, or for your friends and neighbors, even if you are straight yourself. But I am actually talking about something much bigger," she says. "The forces of empire want a world where people fit neatly into a mold. They want tidy, controllable people who will buy things in order to compartmentalize themselves according to the dictates of what is normal or desirable or on trend. And trans people do not fit in this homogenous world, nor do gay people or people of ambiguous gender or sexual orientation. But the range of people who do not fit that mold, I would like to welcome into that bigger bucket of queerness." She wants to invite in disabled people with various shades of skin, people of various ethnicities, fat people, neurodivergent people, cognitively gifted people or cognitively disabled people, people of varying religions, gentlemen and bold women, artists, scientists, people who like to ask questions, people who embrace the mess of human variety. And I would add, people who aren't afraid to be uncomfortable in the service of love and truth. Now, Lynn Unger does acknowledge that you could argue that when the rights of LGBTQ folks are so much on the line, this is not the time to dilute the power of their identity by giving away that word. But she says, "It seems to me that this is a time for finding all the power we can by bringing as many people as possible into the fold, because queer means not normal, not expected, maybe even puzzling. So here's my suggestion. Go for it. Be queer. Embrace whatever it is about you that is odd, is outside the box. Throw sand in the cogs of the machine. Wear loud colors or the same two outfits that rotate in and out of the laundry every week. Take up space. Sing in the grocery store. Be compassionate to someone who does not deserve it. Wave at babies. Hold hands on the street. Make art. Make terrible art. Speak your mind. Walk away. Wear green lipstick or no makeup at all. Instead of being impressive or commanding or attractive, try being authentic. Whatever it is about you that doesn't fit, just do it wholeheartedly, lustily. Maybe find some other people to be your odd self with. She says, "I can tell you this. We're going to have a bunch of hucksters at the helm trying to sell you on their shiny fool's gold. You don't have to buy it. They will insist on a world that is flat and gray, aside from the glint of their crypto coin, but you are full of colors. And the rest of us need to see that color on display." Here's the thing I would add. All those people out there that we say are on the other side, all of those people are full of colors too. It's just scarier. Let's help it not be so scary. Let's be as bold and as colorful as we can. I think the world is going through what a dog trainer I like, Stoney Dennis, calls a go to pieces. Whenever a dog is feeling too stressed or overwhelmed and kind of stops paying attention, Stoney calls it a go ahead, have a go to pieces. We're going to have a go to pieces. We're in the middle of a go to pieces moment. And it's okay. I had a go to pieces after listening to the speech on Monday. I went to my room and went to many, many pieces, which I think is necessary for all of us now and then. And perhaps it's a cop-out to share so much of what someone else said in my sermon this week, but I feel like the world has gone topsy-turvy, and I don't know how to write it all the time. Sometimes it's like we're all in Alice's Wonderland, where nothing makes sense and upside down is right side up. Like the Reverend Marianne Buddy makes a plea for mercy on behalf of people feeling afraid in this country, and she's accused of the sin of empathy. Are you serious? Not you. But they are very serious. The sin of empathy. We have gone to pieces. The continuing subtle story that we're meant to believe through this accusation, through this villainization of Buddy, is that to feel deeply, to care widely and inclusively, is a weakness and a flaw that endangers us. That's the story. That to have a torn up and jagged heart means brokenness and diminished worth. I have been told that story my whole life, probably with the best of intentions, but still, that story lives in me. And there's something about Lynn Unger's writing that helps me to pull my pieces back together again and to continue the work of rejecting that story. I will wear my perfect, imperfect, beat-up heart on my sleeve. I will speak it from my mouth. I will cry it from my eyes. I will live a different story proudly. And here's the other thing. I love Unitarian Universalism because it matters that we allow for these deep truths to be spoken in multiple and endless varieties. In this room, we can hold contradictions and paradoxes. We can hold disagreements and discomforts. The stories that live here in all of you, in these walls, in our theological materials, which are vast, from Buddha to the Torah to Jesus to Mary Oliver, everything in between and everything beyond, the multitude of stories that live here in our lives, in our hearts and minds and hands, the gorgeous complexity of it all is embraced, is sought out, is celebrated in this faith that names love as the thing that matters most, and that we are all one. There is no us and them, even if the other us's don't know it yet. One of our main premises is that as interconnected beings on this one beautiful planet, we need all of us to survive. I reject any story that denies that interconnection. We need all of us to survive. So keep telling your story. Keep telling the story of Unitarian Universalism and its ability to hold so much, so carefully, not always well, but we do keep trying. Keep being your unique, out-of-the-box, colorful, quirky, confusing self. Or if you're boring, that's okay too. Embrace your boringness. We need all the stories. Because as Ursula K. Le Guin says, storytelling and multiple kinds of stories is dangerous to those who profit from the way things are, because it has the power to show that the way that things are is not permanent, not universal, not necessary. We will not know our own injustice if we cannot imagine justice. We will not be free if we do not imagine freedom. We cannot demand that anyone try to attain justice and freedom who has not had a chance to imagine them as attainable. The real stories of our real lives, of our real loves, the messy, imperfectly perfect fumbles and successes, holes and patches, are all imaginations of what life could be, will be, someday. May it be so. Amen.